Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You can see the burning. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Liar, lunatic, or Lord? This was a question posed by C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. And I want to stop everyone right there and let you know that I did not read the book. Some people love C.S. Lewis. My brain simply is not wired the right way to comprehend most of what he is trying to say. But I have used this particular quote in my confirmation classes. The context was a little bit different. But I think it's very fitting for this morning. You see, the question posed by Lewis is worded in a way for Jesus to answer about himself. But I think it's more accurate to view the question from the perception of those people around Jesus throughout Mark's gospel. Oftentimes in Mark's gospel, we've already heard it and we will hear it again, where people will look at each other and say, "Who is this guy?" And I think that so far in Mark's gospel, we've seen all three possible answers play out in the perception of people that Jesus is interacting with. So let's take a look at them this morning. The first one is liar. Now, Jesus has been traveling and teaching with his 12, and this morning we hear that he is returning to his hometown. Now, this is the place where Jesus grew up. This is where Jesus played as a young boy. This is where he went to church and to Sunday school, as we would call them. See, everybody in this town knew Jesus. So he goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach, and all who heard him were amazed. Now, a quick side note, amazement happens a lot in Mark's gospel, and in Mark's gospel, amazement is never good. But the people this morning were amazed because they knew who Jesus was. He was the carpenter's son of Joseph. He was the oldest of Mary's sons, James, Judas, Joseph, and Simon. They thought they knew everything there was to know about this local boy, Jesus. And what they did know did not include wisdom and miracles. The question for them was not who is Jesus, this Jesus, they know, but rather, who does this Jesus think he is? It's a question that is still often posed today. A quick trip through modern society and you will find even the unchurched have heard of Jesus. Well, he was kind of a nice guy, I guess. I heard he was a good teacher, gentle, maybe not treated too fairly at the end of his life. But even in modern error fingers, quote, Christian churches try to mold Jesus into who they think he should be rather than who he is. You see, to accept him, his teachings, and his ministry is to accept that sin is very real and has very real consequences, and that just simply loving people is not enough. You see, we need to cut some of these things out because we don't want to offend some people. So it's so much easier to say, no, none of this is true. We know the real Jesus. He's just the carpenter's son. So he must be lying about all the rest. The next option is that Jesus is a lunatic. And we don't have to go very far back into Mark's gospel to see this play out. It was just a few weeks ago that we read about Jesus teaching in a house that was so full and crowded that he could not sit down or eat. And so Jesus does what he always does. He just continues to teach. His family heard about this, heard what was going on, and they went to get him to take him home. They claimed that he was out of his mind. In other words, he was crazy, or a lunatic in our terms for today. So far in Jesus' ministry, he's been calling disciples, driving out demons, healing many people, including a man with leprosy. He has even gone toe-to-toe with the Pharisees, and no one does that. He must be crazy to think that he can get away with all those things. Now, the Pharisees, they had a little bit different take on the situation. They said he was possessed by an evil spirit. Did you know that one of the largest movie genres in today's society is horror? Specifically, demons, possessions, evil spirits, and the like? People are so ready to accept Satan and demons, but not Jesus. They believe that Satan can possess and destroy, but reject that Jesus can heal and forgive. Even the people of Jesus' day were a little leery about Jesus being possessed. He must certainly be a lunatic because no one says or does the things that Jesus is doing and saying. So according to Lewis, that leaves us with simply one option. That Jesus is Lord. Now, if we look back over all of Scripture, the most powerful thing we see, or rather hear, is the word of the Lord. God speaks and creation appears. God speaks to his prophets and what they tell people comes to pass. In fact, a few weeks ago when we read from Ezekiel, the Lord tells Ezekiel to speak my word to this valley that is filled with dry bones. And immediately upon Ezekiel starting to speak, the bones all start to come together. When Jesus, the Son of God, speaks, diseases are healed, storms are calmed, dead people rise. The word of the Lord is the most powerful thing in all of Scripture. And in our gospel, the Lord speaks to the disciples and lives are changed for eternity. Jesus gathers up the men after his rejection and gives them these instructions for their missionary work. No bag, no money, no food. But what we don't hear is what Jesus tells them specifically to say. See, in another gospel, we hear Jesus say, my words are not my own, but the Father who sent me. In fact, not only does he tell me what to say, but also how to say it. Jesus, true God and true man, gathers his men together and gives them instructions. And you can almost read between the lines here, as Jesus may have said, when you preach, say this, and this is how you say it. And in their preaching, people repented. Demons were driven out. People were healed. All because the words Jesus gave to them. Those powerful words were as if the Lord himself were speaking to them. Only the word of the Lord can do that. Only the word of the Lord can reach through centuries and have the same effect on you. Jesus said, when you baptize someone, say these words. When you were baptized, the word of the Lord was spoken over you with the power and effect as they were the very same day that Jesus said them. The farther away you get from Jesus in time does not diminish his word, its power, or authority. It is not like electricity traveling a great distance over a wire, bleeding off power as it goes. No, it's as powerful and effective in the words of absolution today as it was when Jesus gave the command. If you forgive their sins, they are forgiven. Forgiven because I stand before you this morning and say what Jesus said. For the word of the Lord does what it says it does. Only the Lord can give himself over to sinful men in order to be put to death on a cross, not only for those same sinful men, but for the sins of the world. Every single one of them. So when we gather at this rail and we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, do this and say this. The word of the Lord, with his body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine, forgives our sins and strengthens our faith to life everlasting. Because Jesus said, say what I say, and it will happen. Liar, lunatic, or Lord? Well, we know he's not a liar or a lunatic because everything he said during his ministry was validated in his resurrection. That leaves Lord. And we know this to be true, for he has spoken his word to us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe those words, and our lives have changed for eternity. Only the word of the Lord can do that. Amen.